Good morning. It is 9:10. I'm Larry Long. A beautiful morning out there. Welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence is brought to you by Waddell's Nursery Florist and Garden Center, located at the corner of Milam and 12th Street. We'll get to Andy and your questions in just a moment.
Have you noticed some lighter green, uninvited grasses growing in your lawn? You're probably seeing an extra healthy crop of crabgrass. The lawn experts at Waddell's Nursery Florist and Garden Center have an easy, economical answer to invasive nuisance weeds. Fertilome Weed Out with Q. Putting Fertilome Weed Out with Q on now is the best way to kill crabgrass and other annual grasses, as well as summer broadleaf weeds like buckhorn. Did you know that each crabgrass plant, when mature, can produce hundreds of seeds for the next year? That's why eradication is so important now, before the plant matures, spreads out, and chokes out your desirable grasses. Fertilome Weed Out with Q is economical, too. The 16-ounce concentrate that covers 2,500 square feet is just $11.99. The ready-to-use 24-ounce for spot treatment is just $6.99. Or get the convenient 32-ounce bottle that attaches to your hose to spray even larger areas. If you're not sure what those ugly weeds and grasses are, just bring in a sample to the lawn pros at Waddell's for identification and a prescription for the best product for control. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milam and 12th Street.
Well, good morning and welcome again to Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell. Now, here's Andy. Good morning.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
Real good. Gorgeous day out there, isn't it?
It is. We are getting blessed. So, Larry, I heard the weather was going to be cool, but for summer, that's kind of nice.
I love it. I love it like this.
Yeah.
I don't have a pool. I'm not a big beach goer like I'd like to be. So, I mean, I don't, the real hot weather isn't appealing
to me. That's right.
So this is stuff I can work outside, just be comfortable going in and out of places. So.
And you're not racing back into the AC unit.
No.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. So, hey, welcome everybody. And thanks for joining Larry and myself. And we hope you all had a nice 4th, took last weekend off, and maybe a time for reflecting. Time for family and friends, maybe even a time to have a little vacation. And that's what our family did. But they probably won't call it a real vacation. Larry, you've heard people call the vacation staycations.
That's got to be a very popular term, almost too much now.
They'll probably call ours.
Did you do that to your family?
Slavecation.
Oh, no. That's even worse.
Or workcation.
What are you thinking?
I'm kidding. Oh, we had some time off, but a sidewalk, folks, was going to go into our house, and I wasn't about to call a contractor. And it's kind of funny. Listening to Greg this morning, and I have done some of that basement work that he was talking about. Leaks, brickwork. I did tuck work for a man for years, and that's a lot of hard work. So doing it, like Greg said, doing it the right way, I know I could do that, and I wanted to. So when we bought the house in 2005, we fell in love with it, but it actually needed a porch. Actually, the previous owners said the house craved a wraparound. Built in the 1860s, the house actually used to be a gathering for majors or generals. We think the last name is Wagger, who owned the property. On Saturday nights, they had ballroom dancing. Our upstairs used to fold open, Larry, and the majors and generals.
Wow.
We have pictures from the 1870s of them taking pictures out on the front lawn after the...
I would love to see
it's
those.
It's kind of cool.
I'm a history buff, you know.
So in 2012, work commenced for a saving for about 7 years for a 105-foot wraparound porch. We wanted to make sure it was in the era and the same style, including still the metal roof. And I know when you buy a new home, you want a refreshing. You want a redo. You want to update. You want to upgrade. But we couldn't do the landscaping, really, I felt, until the porch was up. Yeah, and I mean, I could have probably put in some plants, and but I would have probably tore it all back out when we built. So jump ahead to 2014. And our new front porch now goes off into grass and mud. So that's why we needed the sidewalk. So Greg, speaking about hardscape with the basements today, just kind of walked through. There's been a lot of projects on Waddell's plate the last few weeks that included that staycation project, that backyard patio, that fireplace, that grill. Folks are just saying, you know what, let's invest into our biggest investment. I've said it many times, but somebody is wanting to put an outdoor kitchen is I want to enjoy my backyard a little bit more. So we wanted to keep up with the era of the home. So, you know, a concrete sidewalk just wasn't going to work. So the walk, I use an old world cobblestone, a 2x8 brick called Copthorne made by Unilock as my soldier course and my outside course. Copthorne is cool because it has a footing at the bottom of the brick. It's 2 5/8 deep, but at the bottom it's tight, but at the top it has a gap to give you a tight fitting at the bottom, but makes a great border, kind of like an old world European look. As the middle of the walkway, we use 4 different sizes of brown slate paver, 12x12s, 18x18, 18x24, and 24x24, giving a great dimensional older look that matches the house quite nice. Grade change, when I started to put in the walkway itself, we could see quite a bit of change in the level and didn't want to bring up the whole yard, so we used one step halfway through the walkway, a nice 24x48x7-inch step made by Rosetta. Adds a nice little dimension as you're walking down the path, just one small drop. So I just like to share some of my steps on my project to save a little time and money for your project or the expense of redoing it. So I just want you guys to all laugh. The first step, I messed up on.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I decided on the brick.
Yeah.
I stacked it myself. Brought it out with my truck, unloaded it by hand, took the trailer back to the store, and thought maybe I should bring a catalog home, fold the page open on the picture that I like, and was going to maybe show, bring it home to the wife. And she said, hey, that looks really nice. That looks okay, but ooh, look on page 56. Did you see that other picture? And Larry, oh, yeah. what I had not done was rule number one, check with the better half. So because all that brick and columns were now in my driveway, they all had to get packed back up, back to the store, and you can hear the breathing heavy. And then another afternoon restacking. But you know what? I compliment her. She got good taste. She has good taste, excuse me, and I'm glad with what we picked. So just making light of it. Just wanted to go through the some simple steps. So tools needed. I used a 4-foot level, 2-foot level, string level, fishing line or kite string or real light weed whip line, couple posts, screed, compactor, just a broom and a brick saw. Now, I just went out and the first time we just laid out an area in a garden hose, kind of used 2 pieces of garden hose and just kind of got a feel where we were going to lay this out on, out in the grass, using the garden hose as my outside edge. Then I lifted up that garden hose, and we sell a chalk paint at the store, and I chalk painted it out just to kind of see right where we were, and the chalk paint's yellow. It stands out really nice. Next, I used making sure on my widths, my height, and my slope. Like we say, especially I think a seamstress always says, measure twice, cut once, is what I always say. So then I set my level with a line level or a transit. The line level is easier and cheaper. Some people like to use the transit, but like I said, earlier I'd seen there was too much of a drop, so we just set in one nice step in there. No, it is not handicap accessible, but it is easily maneuverable. So then I dug to a depth of about 12 to 14 inches. You're going to say 12 to 14 inches. I will say, trust me, last winter, man, you can see how deep that frost went, everybody. So 12 to 14 inch, a good friend of mine, Todd from Boulder Landscaping, suggested that. And boy, I remember the old days when we do 6 inches. Now we're doing at least a foot or 14 inches down. Now, check the depth at the bottom again before you start filling. Again, with a string level, setting it down, making sure that is nice and level at the bottom of the hole. A string level is actually a 2 to 3 inch level with little clips on it and hangs on the string, pulled by two stakes, making that string taut, and you can raise and lower that to find out where your level is. Once I got my level in, I added soil separation fabric. It's a new idea, is separating the soil from the aggregate that you're putting in so it won't settle down in. I added next 21AA. It's a crushed concrete. It has a crushed stone. It has 70% stone dust, up to 3/4 inch angular stones, and don't use stabilizing gravel. Adding clay to your ground is not what you want. After that, we ended up adding that to a depth of 8 to 9 inches, compacting every 2 to 3 inches. After we were done, number 8, we set and reset that level, just making sure with a screed. Number 9, we used an angular 2NS, that is 2NS sand. It is a 1 to 2 inch base, so we got our 8 to 9 inches of crushed aggregate. We got 2 inches of sand. We reset our level again. I liked using a 1x4x4. It was real easy. A 1x4 is really easy in your hand, 4 foot long. Smooth it out. Go ahead and smooth out your sand. Set your pavers in, number 12, at each side of the sidewalk, measuring level and depth, and then cut an indent notch into your screed with the depth of the brick. Now you can pull that sand smooth, and each time you pull that screed across using your original brick as your level, you can set that next brick in easier. Number 13, level each one. Use a small level on each one of those, using the 4 foot level on the overall width or length of your walkway. I put a 2 degree pitch. I just want to make sure there's plenty of slope that's going to drain that thing away, drain the water away, excuse me. Number 14, have your hose and a nozzle readily available. As soon as you get a good level, as soon as you're setting that brick in place, water that sand down really lightly. It's way easier to work with if the sand is not bone dry. Number 15, I used a 10-inch wet saw with my cuts. I used a diamond blade. It's just easy. It's the way to go if you're doing cuts and going around curves. Number 16, I top dressed then with white sand, with the cracks halfway up. Depth of the brick is 2 5/8, so I swept it in about 1 1.5 inches. Sweep, spray, settle, sweep, spray, settle. Get that in there many times so all the joints fill in. I have not done number 17 and 18 yet, but I'm looking forward to number 17, putting polymeric joint sand that will seal that patio in place. The polymeric is a manufactured sand that is a combination of plastic manufactured pebbles that once set in place will actually seal and set those cracks in nice so weeds and ants can't penetrate as well. Yes, they still can, but it will still help, and it will hold the brick in place and allow the water to penetrate. Instead of taking your leaf blower and blowing out the sand every time you clean out the patio, that polymeric holds in place. And my last thing, WLP, which we'll be doing after we put on the polymeric, is wet look protector. It's a TechniSeal, makes a semi-gloss protective sealing on the brick. So working out in the front this week, that's what we're trying to do. Wow. So what's on your project list this week? My wife's project, I will say, when we do a project in the front, something always gets set behind, doesn't it, Larry?
You do. Seems that way.
I know. So when we come back, we have a garden that we need to attend to.
Okay.
So when you're landscaping, you know, if you're painting, you can't work in the garage, right? So if you're trying to work in a landscaping, you can't really work in the garden. So we've got some bug issues, Larry. When we come back, we can talk about what's happening in the garden.
All right. If you got a question for Andy this morning, let us hear from you. 382-4280 or toll free 877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence. We'll be right back on 590 WKZO. It's 925.
Gorgeous landscape plants are arriving daily at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, where you'll enjoy browsing greenhouses stocked full of beautiful bloomers. For instant color on decks and patios, check out the huge selection of flowering annuals in 1 gallon pots. Some beautiful choices you'll love include wave petunias, vinca, celosia, salvia, dusty miller, and coleus for both sun and shade. For color that comes back every year, check out Waddell's perennial selection. There are over 800 varieties to choose from. Do you love lilies? This week, Waddell's has hybrid lilies on sale for just $5.99 to $7.49, 25% off. Choose from 15 blooming colors and heights of Rebecca for just $4.94 to $6.74. That's also 25% off. Waddell's rose bushes are 25% off this week, too. There are 75 different varieties to choose from. Need some ideas? Browse the gardens at Waddell's to see many color combinations that would work in your garden areas. Waddell's experienced staff would be happy to assist you in deciding which plants would fit your needs best. Waddell's Nursery, Forest, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman and 12th Street.
And thank you for joining us this morning for Over the Garden Fence. Once again, here's your host, Andy Waddell.
Hey, thanks, everybody, and thanks for joining me today and just thinking about your projects and what is maybe up at your house. So we talked about the landscaping. Why don't we talk real quick what's happening out in the garden? Now, as I was having all kinds of extra soil, we're running out tractor loads out to the garden, so we're going to spread it out. We kept finding Japanese beetles everywhere. And I thought everybody, they were going to kind of go through their stages and not be around anymore. Oh, boy. They were all over the sassafras. We can take a call in a second, Larry, but sassafras, the yellow raspberries, the hardy hibiscus, the roses, I mean, they were engulfed on them yesterday. I was kind of embarrassed. So using 10% permethrin, triple action, or using your neem oil, or even using 7. If you start now, they won't congregate. And I will say that George said this the other day, if you get an area and get it wiped out, they won't congregate. But one seems to be telling their friends, you know, there's a buffet over here. Because I will tell you, they were so engulfed on some of the plants when I went to dump that soil. So, Larry, if you want, we can take a call.
All right. And we have Eva on the line. Good morning, Eva.
Hey, Eva. How are you?
Good morning. I have an unusual question.
That's great.
Can you buy crabgrass seed?
You can. Can I ask Eva why?
I have a huge linden tree, and we cannot get grass to grow under it.
Yes. Well, you know what? And the crabgrass seems to grow under there, Eva, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. And it would at least be green. It's either that or paint the dirt.
Well, Eva, you know what? There's you're making me laugh, but at the same time, crabgrass is an annual.
I know.
So
in the
winter, it only comes back from seed. It doesn't come back from root. So if you wanted something tough, there is George, our owner, has done some studies with grass this last winter. And out in, believe it or not, the Sahara Desert, they have found grass that will grow root structure that is up to 96 inches deep. It sounds funny, but they've taken that variety of grass and mixed it with some of these varieties called Jonathan Green. And Eva, if you stop in, I bet there is a grass that will work for that spot. Now, is it a lot of shade or a lot of sun?
A lot of shade, and I had my tree trimmed, so there's some light getting in there now.
Yeah. So the idea is getting that linden so it will go ahead and open up, getting a little more sun. You can't till it. I totally understand. You can't take a rototiller to the dirt there. But you sure can steel rake it, rough it up. That Jonathan Green, what we did is between our curb of our driveway at Waddell's and the sidewalk was just hot, barren ground. Yes, it is sunny and you have shady, but some of those grasses we were having a challenge even growing out there. A lot of hot, dry, and nothing seemed to work. And we were impressed with this product. So if you wanted to stop in, we could kind of show you the steps. Now, have you tried seed over and over and over?
Yes. Okay. And they put in fresh top dirt, and that was planted. And then in the spring, it doesn't come up.
Yeah. And Eva, would you ever consider option 2, yes, I on the crabgrass, but a ground cover would help the linden and grow underneath that shade, an ivy or a Paxandra or a myrtle. It'll help the linden, and it'd kill out, you know, it'd grow in that competition. You did apply top dirt, and you put too much down, you're going to smother the tree. But you could put even a little peat moss just to filter that in and plant some ground cover that would take that shade a lot better.
Well, the problem is I have to have somebody do it. I can't.
Yeah.
I will do that. I will be out and talk to you.
You bet. You bet. Let's show you at least some of those options for you.
Okay.
All right, Eva.
Thanks for the call.
You bet.
All right, next we have Julie from Gun Lake on the line. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. I have a question. Would you suggest or advise to cut iris down flat?
And so we got many iris in our lineup. Is this the German bearded iris, the big wide blade, Julie?
Yeah, the big ones, yeah.
Yeah, they're done flowering, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Myself is not quite to the ground, Julie, but I might say let some of those big wide fronds that are nice and green now, yes, they're starting to brown, but let them go brown for a couple more weeks first.
I found last year I did cut them down pretty flat, and I didn't have too many flowers this
Correct.
Year. And I thought perhaps I just take the lawnmower and cut them about 4 inches high
and
lower.
And that's not terrible for them, but you might think that. Now, can I ask, how old is this patch? Is the patch need to be maybe rejuvenated? Is that why you're not
about
got 3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So chances are the plants are still fairly fresh. I like to let all the green foliage, as much as you can, go brown first. Let the energy of that green leaf go back into the bulb or into that rhizome of the iris, then cut it off. Maybe 4 inches, but maybe between that 4 and 6 inches, you're at about the right level.
I was reluctant to cut them this year because they're so nice and green yet.
Yeah, don't cut them, Julie. If you're going to cut all that green off, wait till it goes brown. Wait till end of July or early August when they go brown.
Okay.
Because then you know, you understand, Julie, then that's next year's energy for the flower.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you can get that, and maybe this fall, put on a little bulb tone or bone meal on them. Iris love that.
I always put bone meal on my peonies, but
yeah.
I didn't know, you know, about this one. So
oh, yes.
I appreciate your help, sir. I wasn't quite sure if I should try to do that again this year or not.
Go ahead and cut them, but I'd wait a little bit, Julian.
They're more died back.
You got it. You got it.
Appreciate your help. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, thanks for the call, Julie. If you have a question for Andy today, 382-4280 or toll-free 877-382-4280. Over the Garden Fence, we'll be right back on 590 WKZO.
Now is a great time to dress up landscape plantings with fresh mulch from Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center. And this week, the most popular bulk mulches are on sale. For lasting beauty and durability for your landscape settings, get cedar mulch. Save over $3 per cubic yard through next Wednesday. Want something more economical? Save $3 per cubic yard on bulk hardwood shredded mulch. Also on sale now is bulk garden compost soil, a rich blend of organic matter ready for perennial gardens, lawn seeding, and for putting in landscape plants. Garden compost is on sale for $27.97 per cubic yard. Another favorite for dressing up landscapes and for surrounding water features is river rock. Save $5 on each cubic yard of river rock this week as well. Whether you need mulch for a playground, for around your trees, or to dress up your garden beds, Waddell's has the varieties you need in stock. If you're running out of time, ask about Waddell's convenient delivery service to bring your bulk mulch to you. You'll find everything you need to make your yard and garden beautiful at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
And we are back again. The number's 382-4280, your toll-free 877-382-4280. Once again, here's your host for Over the Garden Fence, Andy Waddell.
Hey, thank you, everybody, and thanks for calls. And a couple quick comments on Eva with the crabgrass. She has not been the first one that has said that. You know, here's a grass that grows super easy. But I'll tell you, it's a plant that does die after the first good frost. It is not a wanted variety of grass. It tends to overtake and kill out some of the other varieties. So, like I said, easy to do. Ivy or Paxandra or myrtle would be no problem. But Julie's calling Gun Lake. She's talking about the iris. But peonies, poppies, iris. Some of those varieties bloomed early. Now, our peonies at home are still lush green, but once those start fading and that brown goes from green to brown, that's when you can prune. And then your mother plant or the original plant is going to take right off and put out more growth, too, at the same time for next year's blossom. So earlier we were talking about what to do in the garden, Japanese beetles. And I have potatoes, or we have potatoes, and I said, had the potato beetle while we were out working out front. Wow, are they hungry. So I should have used spinosad, and I'm just like you guys. Yes, I have. We have bugs in our yard, too. So most of the leaves last night when I was out grabbing some dairy dew out of my tote out in the garden, a lot of that foliage was gone. So potato beetle. Japanese beetle. One of the issues even getting to the garden this year was, I guess I called it like mosquitoes on a rampage. They are in some areas, somebody say not that bad. I was at a client's last night and we could hardly stand outside. It was 7:30 when I got there, and it was probably a good 20 or 25 bites later walking around the yard. And really, really bad this year. I'll do some investigating, but I killed one this week that has the striped yellow and black on its legs, and it seemed to be after me. It wasn't letting up. And so 10% permethrin, malathion, or we have a lawn shield that you could work out through the yard and do the perimeter, and that's the natural guard repellent. So a couple items definitely that if you have issues working out in the garden, sometimes can be a real challenge. With the once we get in that garden, though, I know a lot of people's prizes are coming up very shortly, and that's things like tomatoes, summer squash, zucchinis. This recent rains really spread favor on a lot of issues in that garden. Phytophthora on the summer squash and the zucchini, we just want to help you protect that crop. The plants that are susceptible to Phytophthora include cucumber, zucchini, summer and winter squash, watermelon, cantaloupe, pumpkins, pepper, eggplant, tomatoes, and succulent beans. The pathogen, or Phytophthora, can overwinter in the soil and persist actually for many years in your garden, and believe it or not, for more than 10 years. Phytophthora is favored by rain and then warm temperatures and easily can spread via water. Been found in irrigation ponds and actually surface water sources also. Summer squash and zucchini are very susceptible to Phytophthora, and symptoms are usually visible on both the plant and the fruit. More often, the first notable sign of Phytophthora is water soaking of the crown and roots that are black or brown in color. The plant appears wilted, and the fruit include dark, water-soaked lesions and a white, almost like a powdery sugar effect, I guess I could say, layers of spores on the plant. It is possible to harvest infected fruit that looks healthy, but this fruit may deteriorate quickly. This can happen because symptoms take several days to appear on the fruit once it's affected and occurred. To avoid this problem, I just want to go through a couple quick steps. A lot of times there can be some issues that just recognizing wilted vines and plant death. Just make sure that's visited your plants. Number two, dark water-soaked lesions on the fruit and the leaves are the first sign. Number three, the white spores on the surface of the fruit that look like I said, powdered sugar. Those are what to look for visiting your garden often. How to manage this? Avoid using surface water for irrigation. Get into the drip system. Come see Don or Mark on the sales floor. If you're having problems with the garden, a lot of times it's the water for starters. Water is a vessel. Water is a vessel for health. It can also be the vessel for problems, too. Plant into well-drained areas. Include rotating your crops from year to year. And like we are trying to do, use raised beds. Scout regularly for the Phytophthora ideas or problems if you see any in the yard, in the garden. Irrigate, if you can, sparingly overhead. And again, go ahead and do drip irrigation. Use your fungicides preventatives on short intervals every 7 to 10 days. And a lot of times right now, Phytophthora is one thing, but also we're getting in stem borer very soon that will show the same thing. Stem borer will show a wilt to the cucumber or zucchini, and you can usually go back and trace 38-plus for stem borer or agrifos for sure. A couple ideas with helping you out in the garden. Client brought in the other day a dogwood had blotchy green foliage, white spots. I noticed the other day, we originally were thinking possibly that it was weed killer or weed overspray from a friendly farmer. But then I noticed at my own dogwood, at my own house, some of this issues that are coming on. So when we come back, I'd like to talk to you about what we were going to do to solve the problem on the dogwood.
All right. Sounds good, Andy. Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell. We'll be back in just a moment.
To enjoy the fun, relaxing hobby of watching the beautiful wild birds that grace Southwest Michigan. And those birds prefer the superior quality bird seed that you'll always find at Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center. This week, 4 of the birds' favorite feeds are on sale. Attract a wide variety of beautiful birds with Waddell's Songbird Blend. The 25-pound bag is just $11.49, and the 50-pound bag of black oil sunflowers just $20.99. Roger Taylor's exclusive blend is now just $15.79 for a 20-pound bag. You can also take advantage of Waddell's Wild Bird Frequent Buyer Program. Buy any 12 bags of mixed wild bird feed and receive the 13th bag free. Waddell's also has over 100 varieties of bird feeders, including squirrel-proof feeders, window feeders, and more. Choose from dozens of styles that are sure to attract beautiful wild birds, hummingbirds, or orioles to your landscape. Birds are more likely to stay if you provide water for them, too. Waddell's selection of bird baths are functional as well as beautiful in your gardens. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, Kalamazoo's bird feeding headquarters for 68 years, is on Texas Drive at the corner of Millman and 12th Street.
And we're back with some closing comments. Once again, here's your host for Over the Garden Fence, Andy Waddell.
Hey, thanks, everybody. And the dogwood that we're looking at, client brought in the other day, nice green leaves, white blotches, or red and white blotches all over the plant. And definitely we see that Venus dogwood I'm still overly impressed with. I will say this winter, my dogwood probably took a beating just like yours. A lot of them did not flower. The Venus at our house probably had one or two flowers. But I will say a lot of this foliage is now showing up in our house the last few weeks. I see that is still struggling from the winter damage. So feed hard right now. Prune off all sucker growth or all water sprouts, getting rid of all the secondary growth. Prune out the top, any of the dead wood. And I was going to put in some magnesium. That's going to encourage some better stem and vein development on that dogwood. So, got questions this week? Stop into the store. Give us a call, 345-1195. Appreciate your all calls and thanks, Larry, for having us.
All right. Thank you, Andy. That's been another edition of Over the Garden Fence with your host, Andy Waddell, brought to you each Saturday by Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center at the corner of Millam and 12th Street. Join us again next Saturday morning after the 9 o'clock news for Over the Garden Fence. Up next, your financial planner with Ron Weiser on 590 WKZO.